Good evening to every one of you. Thanks for coming by the Holy Ghost Calling webpage. God bless you. Brother Freedom's here, and several have gathered. Father, thank you. Praise your name for your goodness. Thank you, Lord, for the love that you are radiating to those that are seeking you. Lord, I just want to know you better. I want to do what you'd have me to do. Lord, touch those people out there that need a touch tonight. I just pray for your healing touch upon them. Thank you for anointing Brother Freedom in a wonderful way, and we give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Father, we just thank you for this wonderful day. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for all that you've done for us. We thank you for every good and perfect gift. We thank you for salvation itself. We thank you for that peace that passes all understanding. And we thank you for that joy that's unspeakable, full of that joy that we can't understand, Father. It's greater than the problems we face. We thank you for what you have done for us, and what you're going to do for us, and what you will do for us. And Father, we thank you for Jesus, our Savior, that died for us, that paid in full, that we might have life everlasting with thee. And Father in heaven, we thank you for the Holy Spirit that we have here upon this land. We believe he is the one that leads us, and you put him here to do that work for us. And Father, we thank you for what you've done for us. We thank you for this day, and we thank you in Jesus' name, amen. I really believe we're living in a time when, because I've been watching a little bit of the Christian TV, and I don't really believe that people are really what they're looking for. Most, I'd say 99% that I see, it's going to be fantastic days ahead of us. I mean, that to the extent they're calling for people to send them money, and they'll send money in that God's going to bless them, just going to bless them over and over and over. But I see it, what I see, and maybe I'm wrong. If I'm wrong, I ask forgiveness. But I think it looks to me like a lot of it for a drive for support, and if they don't have that support, most of them can't function very long because they got to take money to do what they're doing. And I really believe that's what's happened pretty much even our church in America. We're really at the edge. Even little churches, unless they get some help, they're just about all they can do all the time. So I think a lot of people are seeing the need that they have to have God help them in finances. But that is maybe one of the points is going to, where a lot of people are going to be missing the coming of the Lord Jesus. Because we can be so busy in worrying about situations to keep us in God's hand, we forget that what it's all about. And after we could go last Wednesday morning, the Lord really let me feel how it's going to feel here in the service. It's a bad feeling. I felt terrible. It took me a week to sort of to get rid of part of it. And I still haven't really got it all off, but it was tough. What would it feel like to be left here when he's come? And I thought for a little bit that I was going to have to call 911 because I thought my heart might stop. The Lord made it where I didn't do that. There's situations that will keep us from being ready at the time when Jesus comes. Because that night, I was had trouble with my feet, and they were hurting, and I was in the spot between sleep and not sleeping. When I go to sleep, I generally pray before I go to sleep, because if I pray, I'm not going to go to sleep. When I start praying, I'm awake. I just sign it off, and that's over with, and basically right then, because that's one time, 24 hours, I'm not sort of on call. I'm just sitting there, and my Lord, and that Lord knows me. Ooh, come on, she temple. Feel the glory here tonight. Glory. Thank you, Jesus. But see, I didn't feel this glory that I feel right now. I didn't feel it. This scared me. I was really frightened. But being separated from God is an awesome thing. And God made me feel like he made it, because he afterward told me it was terrible. Because I don't never remember my whole life. But he said one thing I was doing wrong. My feet was hurting. And I just said, Lord, my feet are hurting, but I'm going to be ready when you're coming. Have that in my mind. And I've changed a little bit of tactic on how I believe. Now, everything I do, I try to include the fact that maybe God will come in that moment. Because I believe it's going to be that real. If we miss it, we've missed missed Oliver, all the things we've done for years. And that's a great waste when you throw a bunch of stuff away. You know, we got just trophies for the Lord and glorious things and throw them away from some little, because it's going to take something wonderful to not face death. You know, it's just here and there. So I really believe it comes back to that old, I've probably said spoken this before, but I believe it more and more since we got to sort of die out to the things in this world that causes us to want to go not God's way. Like the lust of the flesh, you know, how we like things. I can get a new car. Boy, my heart goes right on that car. Get a new refrigerator. Boy, you got a new refrigerator, new stove, you know. And it's all right to have them, but we got to remember that we got to keep everything in perspective to God. Because I truly believe His coming is very soon. And probably when He comes, there'll be a lot of people that won't even know He's gone for a while. But if it won't be very short, things are going to start falling apart real rapidly. There's going to be troubles because the Holy Spirit is vacant. And we're going to go, He's taking us to Jesus. Eliezer was in the Old Testament, Genesis. He was that servant of Abraham for Isaac. And the Holy Spirit is that, like Eliezer was, that spirit that helps us in every situation. He is there to lead us, guide us, direct us. Oh, what a blessing. Oh, I feel the peace of, I feel the glory of God. I haven't felt this since, oh boy, it's wonderful. Thank you, Jesus. Boy, I know how I was feeling 3 minutes ago. I don't even lost time now. And that's what it's going to be, and it's going to be such a change. It's going to be so drastic. It just say, hey, boy, it's worth it all. It's worth it all. You know, live like a worm. We might live in beggarly elements of this earth because you're going to be elevated in heaven to heavenly places. Up there, there's not going to be no wants. It says, I have not seen neither ear heard. That means that you can't even imagine what God has got for us. Talk about wonderful things and even cloth. I think God's going to have the most elegant cloth there is. The shiniest jewels. I don't go in for jewelry, but there's people that do. But He's going to have the shiniest, the best attire that you can have. And you're going to be decked full. The peace of God's going to be all over you. You're going to be walking in luxurious, glorious power, glorious anointing. You don't ever have to fret no longer. You'll never have to worry about the temperature because it'll be there perfect all the time for you. And the whatever they have for food, it'll be great too. I don't know what it is. I don't even know what it is. But there's got to be something there that's spectacular beyond anything we can imagine. Because, see, we've been made after the image of God. So our statue is probably going to be pretty much the same as here. Or we're going to be up there. And we're going to be known as we're known. So there's going to be a lot of things that's going to be singular, but it's going to be more glorious. It's like a magnification, maybe a trillion times, that trillion times of what it is now to then. That's pretty hard to fathom what a trillion times is a big difference than here. Because there's times, Jim, boy, I thought the other day, where was I? Anyway, I was talking to the Lord. It was just this week. I said, Lord, this is such a beautiful earth. I was watching the mountains. And so I was just talking to Him. And just beautiful. Streams and the little birds and the nice air. But heaven is going to be a wonderful and most glorious place. Out there, wherever you are or throughout the world, you can't miss it. It's something you can't miss it. You can afford to what it's going to cost you. The affording is very easy. It's very affordable. It's just
Walk with Jesus. You'll be happy. You walk in love. You walk in joy. You walk in peace. And you don't care what really happened because you know you're in God's hands. You want to let your light shine. See, God gave us one, what we're supposed to do upon earth, and He showed me this yesterday, that every day of our life is let our light shine. 24 hours, He's going to have a book up there in heaven. Every 24 hours, this opens up. It's our life. God sees all these, what we've done, what we've shared, because our life is a, Jesus, let your light so shine before men. See, that's what it's all about. Your life, you preach. Your life, you preach. Because people watch you. People look through you and over you, especially. And we should be so full of God. Oh, hallelujah. That we're just bubbling over with His glory. And other people like it. Sometimes they get saved. And sometimes they say, have a good day. Somebody gets touched. All the wonderful things. I go to the grocery store and I just sort of sometimes just smile and people open up real fast sometimes. I've seen them just open up real fast. Don't be a show off or nothing else, but you just let your light shine. Oh, let this little light of mine shine, that I might be shine for Jesus. Oh, the glory cloud might fall. The peace, every place it gets is peace. I bring peace. You bring peace. You bring surroundings of God's glory because, see, God, everything is invisible. Everything we do up on this earth, we don't see. But with our invisible brings God with you. Great showers of faith. Great showers of trust, believing. And it shows. They feel it because it's like a gigantic, no one understands. And we're the messengers from God that delivers these messages day by day that other people see. They may not believe it, but they know something's different. Our chemistry, our thinking, our everything that we do is not from normal. The natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God. For the foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, for they're spiritually discerned. I was thinking today about Gideon. He was the man that God had called. And now that when Gideon finally came down to it, he says, Gideon, you got too many men. Well, I can testify that myself, because I believe that God literally wants to get us down to where He's doing the whole thing. We just sort of sit in the background, and He does it. He smiles, and we smile, and everything works. When I try to put my effort in myself, I sort of fall down. But I'm sort of like this pilot system that I've learned so much about. These great big huge machines take a little bitty small tiniest controls and can move huge great big barrels that got gigantic cylinders in them of oil. That's how these machines work. Oil going up and down them. And long you don't get that weight two blocked, it goes out, goes back in. But when you two block something, it means it's locked. And when we in God's world, we have to make sure we're not getting too blocked. So when we get out, when we want power up, we gotta let decrease. That's the way hydraulic system work. This one pushes up, it's increasing, this is decreasing. All at the same time. When it goes down, the same way, this one gives in, and this one falls down. There's never a void in the hydraulic, and that's where we are living with the Lord. We're just on the side, there's no power. We just follow. God reverses all the time. He's on this side. We're in the sensing time. So I just sense it. I sense that I need to flow backwards. I sense now that I need to go up. But God's doing it all. It gets to be a channel that God used through the just physics of oil with pressure that you can lift weights, thousands of pounds, do great things. And that's all how it does. Most all of your big excavators and those kind of machines, that's the way they work. One cylinder works another cylinder. But that's what we are. We are the same way. We have to learn to let God's Spirit come upon us that we don't block God. See, when we block God, nothing happens. And when we block God, then we're stopping the move of God. And if we're not in with God, we block Him. So as God's people, we have to learn not to get in front of God. We have to stay behind Him all the time. So that's all I have to do is stay behind Him. He's always on the lead. I can't get out in the lead, because if I do, I go get squashed. I got to be on the backside. And I do that rotation back and forth. But we do it with ease with the Lord. This is what we do in the Spirit of God. We wait upon God. We look to Him for our help. He is our help, our strength, our way maker, our one that gives us that insight that we need. See, we're really, in ourselves, we're very not capable of doing very much. Because this world, we do pretty good. Because we're American, and we're pretty smart people. We build all this stuff, and we own all those things. But I'm talking spiritually. When it comes spiritually, we really don't know. And that's why we need to walk softly before the Lord. Be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. So if I wait upon God, God's going to lead me into a realm that I can move by His intellect in me that helps me cope with whatever I face. Because whatever I face is unseen. I don't know it. But God sees it all. So if I trust in Him, He's going to let me, as we view along through this, He's feeling for me. His feelers go out in there. He says, this is safe, safe. Come on. But that's the way it is. If you can see the way God works, that's the way it is. But we have to realize that our steps are ordered by Him. And our steps is like a child. When we begin to first walk, we're a little, you know, a little tipsy. But as we go growing, we balance. And spiritually, we have to learn to balance. Have learned to wait upon the Lord. If we try to do any of these areas in ourselves, we just don't, this doesn't work. I'm making it sound pretty easy, but it's not that easy unless you wait upon God. That's the easy part, is wait upon God. The hard part, if you want to do it yourself. And truly what you have to do, it's like any of these times I went to like Sonora, I was going down in a back seat of an airplane flying down to Sonora and had this transmission problem. So how do I, in the old way as a Christian, up to just a short time before this time happened, I would have said, I thought, while I'm back of that plane, I thought, Lord, help me with all these, I'm going to figure out what's wrong with me, help me, help me, help me, help me. No. See, then I was too blocking. I had oil there. Won't go. So what I have to do is remove what I know in my mind. Well, this cylinder can go out. See? I have to. So how do I remove it? It's praying in the Spirit. Praying in the Spirit dissolves all of what I was thinking about. The things that I can't get rid of. Those things that interrupt from heaven. The glory. When you do that, it removes the cobwebs. When I got to that machine an hour later, I didn't think nothing about God. See, I was going down there. I was going to trust God. The only way I had to make my place in a place when I got there to be where God could use me. The only way He could use me is having my mind in perfect peace, His mind is stayed on Thee, in Him. And that takes place as by me spending a little time in submitting to God. And God has a tool, that heavenly language, and that's basically what it's for. It's not out here to be a show off. Sometimes I know I express it a little bit in here, but it clarifies things. But that's what it does. It stimulates your mind to the way that you're no longer thinking as natural. It brings you back to a place you're in the realm from heaven. This is the only way you're going to ever speak to God, because this is how we learn to speak to Him. You have to learn to submit
to Him. And it's very easy. The tool is submit by praying that heavenly language. You say, well, what if I don't know the heavenly language? Well, you need to spend some time and just ask the Lord to touch you. But I'm just telling you, that's where, and all these other realms, what they're working in is, they say it's in the Lord, but most of the time it's not in the Lord. And I've been to some of these places when they pray for people that way, people never was prayed through. They just tell them, because they want to tell people, hey, we got numbers. No, when that's a wonderful experience, you need to make sure, if you have to tarry for 10 years, it's better than to have to have it wrong. So if I got it wrong, I'm hearing something that's not from God. So here I'm saying it's from God. It's not from God. So in that way, when I try to work my hydraulic, hey, I'm too blocked. It's stuck. Too blocked means it's stuck. When we get too blocked, it won't move. It's a dead thing. See, we always need to stay alive in the Lord. And the alive in His Lord, you have to have that resurrection life every so often. And what it does, it soothes this mind. It comes down and helps you. That you're not going to... It just helps you to process a lot of things that you couldn't process before. I hear that computers get things wrong with us all. But see, we can get something wrong with us. Because we're sort of like a computer. We've got to make sure that our mind stays as a channel to heaven. See, we should do that before we ever start building a church. Before we ever start wanting a ministry. Get this right, God will give you the church. God will give you the ministry. You know what my ministry was when I first started? Praying for customers and at 2 o'clock in the morning going out and covering up their exhaust pipes. God made me do that. So I want you to love your customers that much. You'll go get up in the middle of the night. And I used to drive miles. I said, Lord, that's a long ways to drive your truck at nighttime. I said, it'll pay off. Do it. When you start putting your heart behind things, people you love, just cover up the exhaust pipe. That's something that just, if you get water down the exhaust, ruins our, it's not good for that engine. There's a lot of many machines that they don't cover the exhaust pipe. Some they put rain caps on. In the old days, most everybody didn't do that, just had a can. So whoever the Lord had sent me, they were generally not uncovered. I'd go out there and cover it up, or still go back in. But we start learning from the Lord. It isn't just out here building a church. It's building what God wants you to build. He's the boss. See, we've got this Lord thing. Lord tells me sort of upside down because a lot of places he wants to be in the leadership. And see, that's what happened to the Tower of Babel way back there. Those people all wanted to go to heaven. But God confounded the languages. See, God is still on the throne. And He still calls the shots, but breaks the heart of God when we deliberately go against Him. A lot of times when people really try getting eager to serve God, even some of these institutions get very hard on an individual. And God's concerned about that. So we need to really to sweep out our whole situation. Because Jesus is coming soon. We need to walk in God's love. Walk in His faithfulness. Everything that God does, if we'll just start doing that, we're going to be okay. You know, he that overcometh, well, just love someone along his kind. Love bondeth not itself. Is not puffed up. Puffed up there is the bad thing. Bondeth not itself. You can go down through the Bible and you see all these things that we're not supposed to do. God's not given the spirit of fear. So when I have a spirit of fear, I know that I'm not really pleasing God. Be steadfast, unmovable. So when I'm not steadfast, and always going here and through and here, all, never bound the word of the Lord, knowing their labor is not in vain. See, our labor is not in vain if we do what God tells us to do. So what we got to do is just take the Bible that we can learn how to walk. We're not to cheat. Ephesians, the 4th chapter, it tells the whole scenario right there. Just read the the fourth chapter of Ephesians. You can, it gives you what to do, not lying, speaking the truth, working. All the things in that fourth chapter covers pretty much all the bases. And you can read it in about, oh, a few minutes. And it'll give you enough insight that you can live for about 10 years on it. Because it's good. It'll keep you. But I want to say that I just love all of you here tonight, and I pray that God will bless you. I this is sort of a little lowly thing that I spoke tonight, but I believe it's very much needed. We need to wait upon God. And the Bible says in Romans, it says, speak with simplicity. Make it easy. You know, I learned in the work field that anything that had an easy approach was a good machine. A machine was sort of complicated, it was not a good, because the complicated machine generally had some hang-ups in the complication. And I think the same way in spiritual. We keep it simple, and God blesses us. Walk it just very easy, one step at a time. God's going to bless you. God's going to love you, and you're going to have a prosperous and a glorious day. God bless all of you. Pray that God will bless you, keep you. Mine feel much better than I did 20 minutes ago. God bless you. I don't know how long I went, but God's real, and God bless each one. Father, I just pray for a mighty blessing upon everybody this day. I pray that you'll bless them in a mighty way. I pray that you'll lift them up, encourage them, give them strength, help to whatever need they have. I pray that you'll meet that need with them this day. I pray that you'll prosper them. Bless them, go before them. In Jesus' name, amen, and amen, and amen.